Hello, it's Ed Gamble here from the Off-Menu podcast that you're currently listening to. I am on tour now. The show is called Hot Diggity Dog. Make sure you go and get yourself a ticket. I'm probably coming to a town near you if you live in the UK and Ireland. And Ireland, Dublin and Belfast. Do go to edgamble.co.uk, buy yourself a ticket, and I'll see you for an evening of Hot Diggity Dog.
Hot Diggity Dog!
Thank you, James.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Okay, I have two new obsessions that I need to share with you. Impress No Glue Press-On Manis and Impress Press-On Falsies Lashes. Trust me, these are getting ready game changers. Both require no glue, so there is no damage to your natural nails and lashes, no mess, and no annoying dry times. Just one step and you're done. Boom. Instant glam. Visit impressbeauty.com/presson and use code PRESSON25 at checkout for 25% off Impress manicure and press-on falsies.
Welcome to the Off-Menu podcast, taking the cherries of fun. Putting those in the fruit salad, and that's the fruit salad then. Now, you think I've already done that, right?
I think you've already said that's the fruit salad.
I'll be honest with
and
you guys.
Done, and it's finished.
I don't know what's come out yet already,
but
I've been doing this thing where I build a fruit salad across the episodes. James loves it because I immediately lost track of what I'd said and what I hadn't. And I don't know how many things are in the fruit salad, or that is the end of the fruit salad now,
I think there's at least five, maybe as many as eight.
Yes, but... if you put together a list of fruits and say that that's in the fruit salad, we don't know if that is the fruit salad.
Benito's job to know.
Yeah, it is Benito's job to know, but he's already told me he's got a tab on his spreadsheet called fruit salad.
Yeah.
And by no means are they all in there.
Yeah, well, that's poor form because a lot of people would have been playing this game at home where they write down everything that's in the fruit salad, then email, well, then tweet Benito to let him know what the fruit salad is and he'll send him a signed chopping board.
Yeah.
So... if he's going to waste everyone's time, then that's a big shame.
Yeah, I mean, I've wasted Benito's time and he's wasted their time.
I guess I'm the only good guy in all this.
No, you're not. You're at the side, like, prodding us on and being the little bully.
No, not a bully. Yeah. Just the whole thing was, you know, I've encouraged your creativity.
Yes.
And I tried to encourage Benito's productivity.
Yeah.
But sadly, I failed there.
And it sums up my creativity that I started doing something halfway through, went, oh, I don't know if I've done this properly, and then just sort of given up on it.
Well, I know there definitely wasn't any cherries in the fruit salad before, so this is the first...
Yeah, I
so
don't...
That, you haven't repeated yourself ingredients-wise. It's just, you know...
How many there are and
how
when...
many they are, when they're going to come out,
and if two of them
how
the
many
last
times
one.
You said that's the last thing in the fruit
and
salad.
And that's the fruit salad.
Yeah, and that's the fruit salad. So we'll see.
You don't often see cherries in a fruit salad, do you?
No, not often, but, you know, it's not outside the realms of possibility. And I'm pretty sure that, you know, No Context Off Menu, who is not part of our organisation, but, you know, is way more across our podcast than we are.
Yes.
Will know what's in the fruit salad exactly. So maybe some people should tweet No Context Off Menu.
Don't do that to the guy.
And say, well, I'm just trying to save the fruit salad game.
Benito's just told us there will be episodes going out after this one that are fruit salad.
Yeah, so that's not the fruit salad.
No, it is. It can still be the fruit salad, but then afterwards, just keep an ear out because there might be more. And I don't know when those are coming out.
And we don't know, in between those ones will be other things, intros that are different foods, not in the fruit salad.
Not in the fruit salad.
No, so you've really got to...
You can't put a smoked salmon cream cheese bagel in the fruit salad,
no.
For example. I think I've done that.
So you've got to have, like, faith that you think that's the fruit salad done before you do the tweet. And if you do it early, that's it. That's your go.
You're blocked.
That's one go.
We'll block you.
You get blocked.
Yeah.
So you will get blocked.
Yeah.
If you guess the fruit salad too early.
Yeah.
But then, you know, if you leave it too late, someone might get there before you and win the chopping
board. Did I put a bit of orange juice in the fruit salad?
I would hope so.
Yeah. You need a bit of orange juice in it.
Yeah.
But don't check that.
I don't know if you definitely did it, you know.
Well, I guess fruit salad's a lot like life. You never know when it's over. Is that the phrase?
That is a gamble. My name is James Acaster. Together we own a dream restaurant. And every single week we invite in a guest. So we ask them their favourite ever starter, main course, dessert, side dish and drink. Not in that order. And this week, our guest is...
Ray Winston, an actor with a huge CV, James. So many legendary roles.
A national treasure.
Yes. Fully national treasure.
Very excited that we got Ray in. I mean, you know, I'm daunted.
Yes.
You know, but also excited to kind of like be a bit cheeky. I feel like we can be cheeky with Ray Winston.
I feel like we can be a bit cheeky with Ray Winston, yeah.
Yeah, I feel like he's a laugh.
He seems like a laugh. But I think, are you a bit daunted because he plays hard men?
Plays hard men and, like, you know, just it's a world that I could never inhabit. Mm. You know, those characters, and there's something cool about those characters, really. You know, no matter how horrible some of them are.
Sexy Beast, big favourite of ours.
Love Sexy Beast so much.
Yeah. Love, Honour and Obey, one of my favourite films.
Oh, Love, Honour and Obey, of course. Yeah, I mean, it's exciting, man. I mean, also... I don't really know. I don't have any idea what kind of food like Ray Winston would have. It's very easy to just kind of like guess what, based on his characters, what he would be eating. But
you're thinking,
an actor is not their character.
You're thinking of all like the Cockney foods.
Or the tough guy foods.
What are tough guy
Red
foods? I always think they're the same.
Just a completely blue steak. Just eating that.
Yeah, maybe.
Bangers and mash.
Bangers and mash.
That's tough guy food.
Yeah. Bangers and mash isn't tough guy food, man.
No,
it's too sloppy.
Yeah, I guess it's more the Beano, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, they're tough. This is tough.
Bash Street Kids are tough.
Bash Street Kids are tough.
They're horrible, man.
Not all of them. They're horrible.
I would have hated to go to Bash Street school.
I'd have lasted 2 seconds.
Yeah.
If I went to Bash Street, I think I'm definitely not making it to the end of my first week there.
No.
Going home to my mum and dad and saying, I can't go back. Please don't make me go back there.
Yeah.
And don't bother talking to the teacher. He's got no control of the class, so you can't tell him to protect me.
Which strip in the Beano do you think you'd last the longest?
It's a great question.
Not Dennis the Menace.
Not Dennis the Menace. I'll get beat up by Dennis the Menace. I'll get beat up by Minnie the Minx. Ivy the Terrible would beat me up.
Yeah.
Billy Wiz would be too fast for me. Couldn't keep up with him, so I'd be knackered. Calamity James. I mean, I guess, you know.
Same name.
I'm asking for trouble.
Yeah. No, or you'd be friends.
He's very clumsy.
Yeah.
And trouble befalls him everywhere. Pianos are falling on him and stuff. So I think I'd put myself in harm's way there.
Yeah. Billy Wiz, I'd just end up spinning around all the time when he runs past me.
Yeah, yeah. I'd be sick.
Yeah.
The numbskulls?
Yeah, I guess. Remember the numbskulls. Yeah, they live in people's heads, right?
Tiny people that are in your head.
Yeah.
It's like Inside Out before Inside Out.
Yeah. It's a precursor.
Yeah. Didn't make you cry, though.
No,
I don't think.
Very rarely
the numbskulls
did anything in the Beano make me cry.
No. They don't do pathos, really, the Beano.
No.
But we know that, you know, one of the artists of the Beano listens to this podcast.
Yeah.
So maybe a bit of pathos as a request from us.
That would be great. And also, I don't know, you know, we're talking about our era of the Beano. There might be some new Beano characters.
Well, I imagine, from what I gather, it has progressed since.
Yes.
I remember reading it as a kid. And this is when I stopped reading the Beano. I used to read it every week.
Yeah.
I'd buy it every week with my pocket money. Really excited. Loved it when there was sweets free with it.
Yeah.
And
or a pea shooter or something.
Yeah. I can fire the sweets into my mouth. Yeah.
How do you fire something?
Don't analyze that.
Okay.
And I remember when I stopped reading it was because when Dennis the Menace, I can't remember why he does it, but A, he steals someone's bike.
Yeah.
I was like, what the hell? That's a crime.
Yeah.
And he's just going down a hill on it, loving it. He's going to get Walter and the other softies. That's his plan.
They're not called that anymore. I know that. Walter the Softie's not called Walter the Softie.
So that's progress.
Yeah. He's called like Walter the Sensitive Lad or something.
Well, it's a bit of a mouthful, but it's more respectful. But he's going down a hill on this stolen bicycle. to go and get these kids that he calls the softies. So already bad guy.
Yeah.
And one of the panels, there's just a pedestrian and Dennis Mears just pushes him in the face for no reason. Just full, his full palm of his hand.
Yeah.
He's just laughing and pushes this guy in the face. And I remember being like, there's absolutely no need for that. And I stopped reading the Beano. That was when I stopped doing it. I was like, you can't do that.
I love that you had a tipping point.
I was already like, not sure I'm on board with him stealing that bike. And then when he pushes the innocent bystander in the face, I was like, Joe, what? Fuck this prick.
I think for me, it's probably when I got like pubes. Probably when I got a pube, I was like, get rid of the Beano now. I don't need the Beano anymore. I'm a man.
I was halfway through shaving my beard when I saw that. Dennis Mears pushing a kid in the face. Now, even though we love Ray Winston, as always, if he says the secret ingredient, an ingredient which we deem to be unacceptable, we will have to kick him out of the Dream Restaurant. And this week, the secret ingredient is...
Damsons.
Damsons.
The fruits, yeah, those sort of plummy things. I don't really know. I mean, people always make them into jam.
Yeah,
or vodka.
I'll give that a swerve, damsin jam, personally. But
it's very sort of Middle England-y sort of, I made damsin jam. It's not my sort of thing, but I'll be honest, we've picked it because Ray's in a new film called The Damsel.
Yeah, it's a film called Damsel, so we've just gone damsin and made that the secret ingredient. Yeah. It's out on Netflix. Come on, we will ask Ray about it. Very good cast. Millie Bobby Brown's in it. Robin Wright in it, Angela Bassett.
Yeah, that's a huge cast.
Yeah.
That's coming out on March 8th on Netflix. And if you like Ray and you like Netflix, you're in for a treat in March. Because also coming out in March is The Gentleman, a new show, 8 episodes. Ray's in it. Theo James is in it. It's an insane cast. Jolie Richardson's in it. Vinnie Jones is in it. It's a Guy Ritchie project. Creator, co-writer and executive producer. So that, you know what you're going to get there. That's going to be a lot of fun.
I did something recently. There's a character in it called Rich Geisley.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, who sells hot sauce out the back of his car.
Oh, yeah.
So,
Ghostbusters?
No, my own thing, Springleaf. Available on all platforms.
Yeah, do go and get
that. Get your podcast.
I'm on tour as well, although I'm going to get Benito to record another special advert for that.
Oh, that's fun. That's exciting. I look forward to that.
Well, without further ado, this is the off-menu menu. Oh, should we put damsons in the fruit salad?
Yeah, next time.
Okay. This is the off-menu menu of Ray Winston. Welcome, Ray, to the Dream Restaurant.
Thank you very much. Looking forward to it.
Welcome, Ray Winston, to the Dream Restaurant. We've been expecting you for some time.
Oh, lovely. I'm starving.
Yeah? Pretty hungry?
Hank Marvin.
Does your personality change when you get hungry?
Yeah.
Yeah,
I think so. Like most people, I guess.
Yeah, yeah.
I start to get a headache and then I get really, a little bit mean, you know.
Yeah.
Bit argumentative.
Yeah.
See the face changing then.
Yeah, I saw it.
I started thinking about it, yeah.
You went method then.
I know, a bit Marlon Brando, wasn't I?
That's what he used to do. Well, later on in his career, he was never starving, Marlon Brando.
Oh, yeah, a bit too much, didn't he?
Yeah.
See, now I don't know what's rhyming slang and what isn't, because you said Hank Marvin.
Yeah.
And then you said Marlon Brando. I was like, what does that stand for?
No,
and I realised
no
you just meant you were going method. I watched a clip of Robin Williams talking about Marlon Brando this morning on my way here in the car, and saying that he went to an acting class that Brando was like running.
Do you know, I saw Robin Williams on stage when I was a young man. First time I'd been to America, and I was with Lou Adler, who owned the club Whiskey Go-Go and all that on the strip, right? Mm-hmm. And I was standing there meeting him for a movie, and there was this kid, he was doing his, not an audition, but he was training, practicing on the stage at the Whiskey Go-Go, and he was phenomenal. I mean, that's a big word for me, I don't want to say that. Yeah. But he was unbelievable. And I said, Lou, who's this guy? He says, a new guy, Robin Williams. And he was there. He was climbing up the sides of the walls and all that. So I actually got to see him before most people did, you know?
Wow.
Yeah, incredible. Incredible. Funny man.
And then did you, when you saw him popping up places, you're like, that's that guy.
Yeah, I know. Morecambe and Mindy, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Come along after that, yeah.
I loved Morecambe and Mindy so much. Man, I was obsessed with it. The first programme that I loved.
Yeah.
Like little kid and just be like, what is this?
You're a bit Mork.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I base my whole personality on.
I get it.
Yeah.
When I was a little kid, went to church every Sunday. I don't go anymore. I wouldn't normally point that out, but I want Ray to think I'm cool. So like, but we had to go away in Sunday school and write a little profile about ourselves. As, you know, we're the kids of the church. It was going to go on the wall.
Right.
And one was who your hero is. All the other kids wrote Jesus. I wrote Robin Williams.
Yeah, yeah. Good choice.
Yeah. It's either Jesus or Robin Williams, isn't
it? Which one of the
other? Yeah, those are the options, yeah. We've got two things to talk about here, Ray. You seem to be in charge of Netflix now.
Oh, the Damsel and the Gentleman. Yeah,
Damsel and the Gentleman.
And you're the keys to the flicks.
Yeah. I just think it happened that way because, you know, COVID and all that kind of stuff. And then the strike in America.
Yeah.
So these two things kind of got drawn together, you know. Very enjoyable jobs. They're not a bad company to work for, you know.
Yeah. I mean, it seems it.
I mean, you're allowed to get on with it and allowed to do what you want to do. Pretty much like you guys in the studio.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. Well, Benito actually keeps us on a very
He's very quiet, isn't
he? Tight leash. Yeah, yeah.
Are you Italian, Mexican? What are you? Benito? Italiano,
Yeah, yeah.
He's like the quiet, silent, cold type.
Yeah, yes, exactly. You've immediately sussed him.
Yeah.
I got him.
Tell us a little bit about The Gentleman. So Guy Ritchie's involved in this.
He is, yeah. And you know what you're going to get with Guy. I mean, it's stylized. It is what it is. It's action. It's the way you go. And it's shot beautifully. I saw the first episode the other night, which I'm not in. I might act, but I watched it and really, really enjoyed it. Yeah.
So it's based on the film?
I think so, yeah. I don't know.
Okay. Yeah.
I didn't see the film.
Do you not?
No,
I saw it on a plane. Watched it on a plane.
Did you?
Yeah, yeah. Which
the ultimate compliment.
Did they cut all the swearing out on the plane?
Yeah, but I put it in myself.
You said it yourself.
I said it out loud. Yeah, yeah. Okay. I got checked off the plane.
Yeah, but unfortunately, you put the sex scenes in as well. So
did you on the plane?
I want the authentic experience, Ray. Can you talk about your character in The Gentleman?
Kind of. It's kind of like the boss. You know, he's in charge of the way things go. You find this out as you go along. I don't want to give too much away, but he's the father of the young girl in it, who's absolutely fantastic. I mean, it's a good cast anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And he's kind of pulling the strings, I guess, from inside his prison cell.
No one's casting you as anyone but the boss, right?
Well, you're the boss. Well, I don't know. It depends who's in the film, isn't it, really? I mean, I'm getting to that age now where I'm not going to be the lead too much. You know, I'm going to be the fill-in. I'm going to be there just bringing a bit of, I don't know, gravitas to the event, you know.
Is that a nice point to be in your career?
I don't mind. I've done it, you know, and there's some great kids out there coming through, some really talented people. So I don't mind. I've had my bit. I've done it, you know, enjoyed it. But I'm still here.
Yeah.
I feel I like it when you're not the boss. I like
Yeah, I want to be a lover.
You're not quite the boss in those.
Yeah, yeah.
There's people.
You have to push it along, though. They get on your nerves a little bit. They start fucking about. And, you know, so you have to keep going and pushing it and pushing it and pushing it, letting them have it. You know?
Yeah. And in Damsel, you're a lord. You're Lord Bayford in Damsel.
Yeah, again, I'm playing the dead. I'm a father.
Yeah.
You know, I'm a father to a princess or a young lady who's going to become a princess, yeah.
So is that more? That's more of like a fantasy sort of.
Yeah, it's kind of a mixture of, you know, what old fairy stories were, and I guess we've modernised it a bit. I remember meeting Juan Carlos, the director, had a great chat. I really like this guy, I know he's a good director, really good director, and had a chat what it was going to be about. I had no interest, really, of being in a fantasy kind of movie, you know. It's not what I enjoyed doing, but when I sat down and had a chat with this guy, then I started thinking about, you know, I've got grandsons now, and it'd be great for them to see it rather than me punching someone. I'm going to be in a fantasy kind of movie.
They've got plenty of that to
dragons
watch.
And all that kind of stuff.
When they get older, they can watch you punch
someone. Yeah. But this one's great. And, you know, the costume department in it were incredible. I mean, the armour I had to wear in it as a 66-year-old man was real armour. And, you know, it was crazy. I couldn't move. I mean, if I was a knight in the old days, I'd definitely want to take the armour off to have a tear up.
Yeah.
Because you actually can't move. If you fall over, you can't get up.
Yeah.
So I had to carry this around for a couple of, and they thought it was very funny. But, that was a tough bit of the filming.
Yeah.
But I have to say, it looks incredible. It looks incredible. And I think it's going to be quite a special little film, you know.
Fantastic.
Were you filming these quite close to each other or even at the same time?
No. No, Damsel was done, I think it was during and just after COVID. I remember flying out to Portugal. I'd had a COVID test the night before and I was negative. And we got the Portugal had another test because you have to before you go on set. And I was positive.
Oh, man.
I couldn't go on set for a week until it cleared. You know, it was a swimming pool there and, you know, we had our barbecue going and on. I felt great. And what's that all about? I've come on holiday, you know. It's like I've been in a beautiful part of the world, Portugal, yeah. You know.
Obviously as well. I mean, I know I've already mentioned Sexy Beast, but you said you'd buy a swimming pool on the barbecue,
yeah,
in hot weather.
Derby hanging out, yeah. Sweating, love.
You're not going to work. Were they turning up every day going, we need you on set? And you're like, no, I can't come back. And they're like,
They were telling me to stay there.
Yeah, yeah.
So I was there with my shorts on, with nice little shorts.
Yeah.
Laying around the pool, and Joe would be at the barbecue giving it loads.
Yeah.
He'd cook a nice pasta as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, and we'd do a nice chicken or something like that.
It sounds
for
ideal.
A week.
Yeah,
it does sound
you're
great.
You're there to work, though, aren't you? You know, you're there to do a bit of graft. I didn't mind the holiday. It was fine. I mean, the rest, it was fine.
Yeah. I mean, already there, the way you described the food on the barbecue,
yeah.
We can tell that you appreciate food, yes. Which is good for this podcast.
Love a bit of mungy, yeah.
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 Yeah. In fact, it was very difficult to think of a proper dish, you know, that I really do enjoy because there's so many,
yeah.
You know, Japanese all the way through. I've been lucky because in the job that I do, you travel. And if you're lucky enough to, you travel to places where not necessarily the tourists go. You go to places where the locals go, mm-hmm. because that's where you're going to film, you know. And that's when you find the real cooking and the real bits that you enjoy rather than going to somewhere where all the tourists are. And you get a pizza and you get this and you get that. You know, I've been lucky enough to go to places where it's very diverse, isn't it, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, let's see how that plays out throughout your menu. We always start with still or sparkling water. Do you have a preference?
Sparkling, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, straight yeah. in there.
Straight
yeah.
away.
Yeah.
Always sparkling?
Yeah. It's a bit more interesting, isn't it?
There's always something going on.
And you get a big half a lemon and you squeeze it in there.
You got half a lemon squeezed in.
Yeah. Yeah. Bang. If you're going to have a drink, have a proper drink, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, don't mess around, you know. Water's water. That's all it is.
Yeah.
And it's very good. We need it to live.
Yeah.
But it's, you know, you can fancy it up a little bit.
Yeah, nice. Do you have a particular sparkling water that you like?
No, they're all the same, believe me. You know, some are more sparkling than others, I know. But, it's a load of cobblers, really. Someone's getting a lot of money out of bottling water.
Yeah,
it should be free. It's natural, you know.
You sound like what I'm getting so far. You don't really trust people, but like the
especially. I'm in South London. I've got to be very careful over here.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
Are there a lot of sort of sparkling water gangsters over there?
Yeah, Millwall.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
I didn't know Millwall had got into the sparkling water.
They get into everything. Yeah. Believe me.
So that's good. I'm glad that you're squeezing the lemon in there as well. Some people just put the lemon wedge in or a slice.
Depends how much lemon you like.
Yeah.
If you just want a little bit of an aroma going on, then you just drop it in.
Yeah.
But if you like a lot of lemon,
you've
got to squeeze it in.
Especially with ice. Got to have ice.
Yeah.
Are you doing the crushed ice? I imagine you would, because you're always talking about squeezing that lemon.
I mean, crushed ice is lovely, but it melts very quick.
Yeah.
With sparkling water, you want chunks.
Chunks.
Yeah.
Big chunky ice.
Yeah.
I agree with the squeezing the lemon one. When people put a wedge in, or like if I have a gin and tonic or something and there's like a wedge of lime in there, some people just leave it to bob around. It's not doing anything.
Well, I usually leave the lemon in there if I'm having a vodka and Coke or something like that. Leave it in every time so I know how many I've had.
So when you're making another one, you put a fresh...
leave the other one in and a fresh one in and you know how many drinks you've had. You see.
That is genius.
Yeah.
And then how many lemons would have to be in there for you to say, I'm not going to have another one?
When you can't get no more drinking.
Where's a glass of lemon?
When it's a big glass of lemon. Yeah.
Pop knobs or bread? Pop knobs or bread, Ray Winston? Pop knobs or bread?
Oh, depending on the bread and where you are. In Italy, the bread's very good.
Mm.
Here... I don't know, it sticks in my throat a little bit here. So I like the sourdough and a little bit like that, you know. But I don't want the crispy stuff. It's all right, depending what you've got. If you're having a ruby, you want a pompadom.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or an arm.
No.
Yeah.
A ruby.
Come on, you know that one. That's entry level.
Come on, liven yourself up.
Come on, you know.
How long have you lived in London?
It's worth it for the response. I've been in London for... I don't know, 14 years now.
Where are you from originally?
Kettering in Northamptonshire.
Yeah, just about. That sums it up. Yeah, yeah. Basically, yeah. Right, yeah. Got it.
You know Ruby.
All right.
I know Ruby.
I should calm down a bit for him.
No, do not. I want Maximum Winston the whole time. Okay. So what would you have for your dream meal? Are you going bread?
No, I think I'd go. I know what my starter is, and I've got a kind of a middle starter as well. Before I get to the main course, and I'm sticking very fishy today.
Usually, I
love a rib of beef.
Yeah,
love a rib of beef, and I like, as I said, Japanese food. I mean, because when I walk away after having a Japanese meal, I never feel bloated.
That's
I feel good.
On. Yeah, yeah.
But when I'm having something, when I'm either, especially in this country, so bread wouldn't be that. I wouldn't have too much bread. I'd have probably a little bit of something crispy, a little bit crispy and light, just to get me ready for the first course.
Have some butter with it?
Yeah. I like a little bit of butter. I was just a bit bland, isn't it?
Yeah.
Or olive oil.
Nice. Oh, yeah, lovely.
A bit of olive oil in, if you're having bread, sour bread as well. I do it at home. Olive oil, boom, 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 done.
Bon.
I make my own olive oil. I got olive trees in Sicily, so I'll bring my oil on for the family, and we use olive oil now more than we use butter. Wow. It's just so much better for you, you know.
Yeah,
so you make your own olive oil in Sicily. Yeah.
How long have you been doing that for?
About 5 or 6 years. Yeah,
amazing.
Yeah, it's very green as well.
Yeah,
and really good for you, you know.
Do you like bottle it and label it up?
For the family.
Yeah,
you know.
Do you put a special label on it or anything like?
My kids do it for me. Yeah. I'm not that fancy. It's oil. That's it. But they put on a little thing and all that, yeah. I think they've got ideas of grandeur of opening up an olive plant. Whoa, I'm just enjoying myself.
So I'm quite fascinated with this.
Yeah.
So you decided like 5 years ago I'm going to get some olive trees?
No, I've got a place out there because I live after a year out there. And there was a few trees on the land anyway, and then I started to tidy the place up because it was an old run-down place. And we started planting more trees, and the olive tree is an amazing tree because it doesn't matter. This year, the weather was so diverse where we had no rain and we had, literally up to 54 degrees.
Wow.
It was getting, so you think this year's crop's going to be absolute crap. You're going to get nothing out of it. And it's probably the best oil we've had.
Wow.
And that's down to the olive tree. The olive tree looks after itself. All you got to do is give it a little trim now and then, but basically it's an amazing tree. And what you get off it, I've got almonds there and pistachio. So we kind of, this year we lost all our crops of tomatoes and things like that because of the weather. But usually we're really self-sufficient there. You're getting what you get. And what you can't get, you go down the local supermarket, you do that. But it's all local stuff.
Wow.
And you're eating. And I feel much better when I'm out there eating than what I do when I come home,
Yeah.
It's crazy.
That sounds delicious.
Sounds like you're living like you're in an Olivia advert.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, that sounds good.
Would you do an advert for Olivia?
No, I don't think so.
Well, if it was the same as the betting adverts, so it's your head screaming.
The betting adverts are wonderful. I love those.
Yeah.
But I'm not doing those anymore. That stopped now. I had 12 years of that, 12 wonderful years.
Yeah.
Great company, great people, and actually, looked after me, paid me well.
So what if they approached you and said, we're going to do an Olivia advert.
Yep.
It's going to be the same style as the betting advert.
Yep.
So it'd be like your head screaming in 360 canvas.
Yeah.
But it'll be for that olive oil.
Yeah. I'll do it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's get into your dream menu proper, your dream starter.
Right. Well, I've had to dig deep for this, but dressed crab.
Oh, nice. Mm.
I think dressed crab with a nice chunk of lemon on the side.
Yeah.
Seafood sauce, all done beautifully there. You can't beat it. In fact, once going back about 10 years ago, I was in my local restaurant, Smith's, which I've been going in all my life. Great seafood and everything. And he'd done me in there, and he don't even remember doing this for me, but he'd done me in there. He'd done me a crab, dressed crab, but he baked a cheddar cheese on the top of it. And I've got to say, it's incredible.
Yeah.
Dressed crab with baked cheddar cheese on the top is different class. I like lobster, but crab, when it's done properly, is different gravy. Gotta tell you.
You get like with the dressed crab, they separate out the white and the brown meat, or is it all just in there?
You can do that if you want to do that, but the way it is, you just open that up and you put a load of cheddar cheese on the top, put it in the oven or under the grill all day long. Different club. I've got to tell you, you've got to try it.
But he doesn't remember doing it for you.
He, when I said to him, can you do that? He said, I didn't do it. I said, you did. He must have been drunker than me.
So they've not done it for you since?
No, I haven't asked for it since, to be
Yeah, you don't want to ruin that memory, man.
No, sure. One off. It was beautiful.
That sound, I mean, we don't get crab very often on this podcast. That's no, we great don't. To have yeah, a have another shout out for crab. Yeah. And do you want that one that he made you that day as part of your dream, mate?
No, I think just a plain dressed crab.
Yeah,
plain. Right, yeah.
Simple.
Yeah.
To start you with, and it's light, and it just gets you in the flow, especially if you're having fish. You can have it before a rib of beef. It doesn't matter, you know. But if you're going with a fish, just proper. Maybe a couple of cockles on the side.
We'll throw a couple of cockles on the side for sure. Yeah. And you get to squeeze lemon again.
Yeah.
Which is just lemon.
Got to squeeze a bit of lemon. Yeah.
There's a guy around Kettering used to just go around the pub selling cockles in the evening.
Yeah.
He'd wait until everyone was hammered.
Yeah.
So then you just go, yeah, I'll buy a bunch of cockles.
Yeah, Wilks. Cockles and Wilks. Yeah. And all that. Yeah.
I bought them once.
Did you?
Yeah.
We used to call them, like when we were kids, we used to call them the smelly men. Yeah, Mum, the smelly man's here. Because he's been a lorry coming around. Yeah, everyone knew him as that. Cause
he
fish,
knew
he
smelled.
He smelled a fish.
Yeah, of course he knew. That's part of the game, isn't it?
Of course it was, yeah.
The smelly man.
Yeah.
And you would buy cockles off the smelly man?
I did it once. I was like,
Was you ill? Is that why you didn't buy him again? Or
yeah. No, I was all right, actually. I just think, I never saw him again. So maybe that was it. It was like, right, I've got.
No, he took all your money and he went on holiday.
Yeah. I overpaid for him, I think.
That was great, though, in him. When you think of them days, though, you had all them characters coming around the pubs. I mean, pubs now ain't the same, are they? They've changed. The whole character of a pub has changed. Yeah. The whole reason you was there has changed. You like a drink, but you mix with people and you converse, you know, and you have a laugh.
Yeah.
With different people from all over the world, you know? But now it's different. It's very different going in the pub.
Well, you probably can't go in there. Pub these days, can you, Ray? I mean, surely,
why?
Like,
why
you'd be swamped? You mean they'll swarm around?
Oh boy,
you. They'll go, Ray Winston's there.
No, I can't go in pubs where I live.
Yeah,
they're all used to me walking about, I don't really care.
Yeah, but that's the thing you say that you used to be able to just like talk to loads of strangers and stuff in the pub. You can't do that,
yeah. But no, people don't talk to people anymore, really, do they? You know. Mm-hmm.
What about in Sicily? Are you going to hang out in a bar in Sicily?
Yeah, it's bars, Clock Tower. We'll go up to the Clock Tower, that's good. There's a little town called Cenciana. It means tiny bells, I think it means. And it's just the same faces you see all the time. Mm-hmm. And I know all the families anyway. Through the kids live near me in Essex. You know, there were people who got greenhouses who sell cucumbers, grow cucumbers, tomatoes and all that sort of stuff. But I know their sons and I know their kids and, now I know their mums and dads and uncles and that, you know. So it's just like being part of a family, you know.
Nice.
It's all right. It reminds me very much of what London was when I was a kid, you know. You knew everyone in the street. Like, it sounds really corny, I know, and you're probably sick to death of hearing it, but doors were open.
Yeah.
You know, people, neighbours help neighbours. It was a different world. And I kind of get that there. You know, when my grandchildren come, they walk about the streets till 2 o'clock in the morning. But it ain't a worry. Everyone's watching. Everyone looks after that kid, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Used to be like that here.
Yeah.
It's not like it anymore.
I don't know, our road, you know.
Is it good like that?
Yeah, there's a WhatsApp group. A WhatsApp group.
Oh, yeah.
We're all on the WhatsApp group. And neighbours help neighbours. There's been some parcel
thieves. Well, that's great.
Parcel
that's
thieves recently. So a guy at the end of the road put out a bait parcel.
Oh, right. Okay, yeah.
He put 15 kgs of crap in a box. And he's going to wait to see if they try and steal that. So, you know, it's still...
Proper geezer.
It's still nice around London.
Yeah.
It's like a Looney Tunes
guy. I love it. Okay. Well, it's good to hear.
Yeah. Someone on my friend's WhatsApp group posted a photo going, whose cat is this? It was my friend's cat.
Yeah.
And she was like, it was my cat, but it was wearing a T-shirt in the photo, and it wasn't wearing a T-shirt when it left my house in the morning. Someone had put a T-shirt on their cat.
Well, that's very neighbourly, isn't it?
Yeah. Just our cats walking about wearing a T-shirt.
What sort of T-shirt was it?
Just a plain white T-shirt, but made for a cat.
Well, nothing on it, no writing on
it. Yeah, just a cat T-shirt, plain white, but the cat's just there.
Yeah.
First time in its life wearing a T-shirt, all rigid, just walking around in it. And someone's like,
oh, we're walking around, not upright.
No, okay.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Today's episode of Off Menu is sponsored by Aura. James, are you ready to win Mother's Day?
I am, Ed. I want to cement my reputation as the best gift giver in the family. I'm going to give my mom an Aura digital picture frame preloaded with decades of family photos.
May I say, James, I absolutely love the class and elegance with which you use the word mom, because this is for US listeners.
All of your moms deserve a good Aura digital picture frame preloaded with decades of family photos.
Yeah, I think your mum's going to love looking back on your childhood memories, seeing what you're up to today, seeing what you were up to back in the day, and even better, with unlimited storage and an easy-to-use app, you can keep updating mom's frame with new photos, so it's the gift that keeps on giving, James.
Ed, answer me this. Who is the best gift giver in your life?
I'd probably say my wife is a very good gift giver. Not that my mom is not a fantastic gift giver, but my wife's very good at little surprise things. She says, I've only got you a few things, and then there'll be little surprises, things that we've seen throughout the rest of the year. I'll say to my wife, I like that, and then I forget about it. And then on the day, there's some lovely little gifts there for me that remind us of the year that we've just spent together.
Oh, if you like being reminded of stuff, may I suggest photographs?
That's a very good point, James. I think we should get ourselves an Aura digital picture frame and put some of our wedding photos on them.
Right now, Ed, Aura has a great deal for Mom's Day, Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. That's AuraFrames.com. Use code OFFMENU at checkout to save. Terms and conditions apply.
Dream main course, Ray. Now we know this
is going to be. I've got a little course.
You've got a little course
in between the two.
I love it.
If you don't mind.
I don't mind at all.
Artichokes.
Lovely.
Right? Now you get an artichoke and it's very good for you. Yeah. You know, once you've eaten that, it cleans you out inside. Yeah, really looks up for you. So what you do with an artichoke, you put it in a pan and you wash it. Wash it for about, I don't know, 45 minutes or something like that. Till you think they're clean. Dry them off, get all the water out of them, keep them a little bit damp. Cut them in half, and if they're the spiky ones, you cut the spikes off. You don't want to be messing about with them. Cut them in half, and then you put your olive oil on them. So they sit in the pan, like with the half up, right? So you don't want that. Black pepper or white pepper and salt, plenty of salt, plenty of sally on them, right?
Yeah.
Bump, in the oven, burn them.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Got to burn them, because your hearts won't burn. You eat them. They're the governors.
Yeah.
They are the governors. Yeah. And they're very, very good for you.
Yeah.
The trouble is I eat too many of them because I just really like them, you know.
Yeah.
And that's that pepper and salt and the olive oil and all that. And that could be a bit dangerous the next day.
You can be, keep an eye on yourself. You can be too cleaned out inside, can't you?
Absolutely. Yeah. And in the wrong place.
Yeah.
You know? So you've got to be a bit careful with them. But they're amazing. So you've had the crab, which is nice and light. You've had the artichoke, which is also light, but it's doing you very, very, very good inside. And then you're getting ready then.
Yeah.
Right, and you've been eating a couple of cockles on the way through. Yeah, well. Don't forget
the smelly man.
Right, and then you're getting ready. Ain't we having no wine with this dinner?
If you want.
Yeah, nice, but I know it's fish, and people say you shouldn't have red wine with fish, which I think's a load of cobblers. You drink what you like.
Yeah, I never stick to those rules.
No. Nah. So you want a nice bottle of Nero d'Avola, which is kind of the grape that comes from the foot of Etna, right? So it's nice and mineral, right? Beautiful red wines, Planeta Durum and all that kind of stuff. Fantastic, fantastic wine. So you've got to have a drop of red. Or a nice Amarone, which is from the north of Italy. I like Italian wine.
Yeah.
It's good stuff, you know? Yeah. But they also do a Rosé Planeta, which is a good wine. I'm not a white wine drinker. Don't like it. Gives me headache. But the Rosé is very, very, very good. So we've got our wine sorted.
Lovely.
Right? Nice.
Yeah. So that all three bottles of that are on the table.
As many as you like.
Yeah. Okay. That's lovely.
Yeah.
Artichokes sound amazing. I think once you realise that you can just season vegetables and grill them, and they're amazing.
Delicious, yeah.
Absolutely. You don't need nothing else.
Yeah. So easy to go for a phase of just doing that all the
absolutely,
time.
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I do that with leeks and with aubergines, and like it's just so
good. Because it's so geared up, Sicily, for vegetables, mm-hmm. you find yourself eating less and less red meat.
Mm-hmm.
I love, I'm a red meat eater. I love it. But out there, the vegetables are so good. And it's like a pepper. You pick a pepper up. It's like eating an apple. It's not like here when it's been on in a fridge for about 2 months.
Yeah.
You know? It's easy, unless you go to a farm shop or something and get it local. Here, in Sicily, you pick up a pepper and you crunch it and you go, oh.
Yeah. Would you do that? Do you walk around just eating a pepper like an apple?
Well, not all the time.
Yeah.
You know, if I want an apple, I'll have an apple.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's that kind of, it's that good.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, really is.
Yeah, a good pepper. It don't, like,
yeah,
like,
and
it,
with
it
the peppers and all, you see, you can throw them in a pan.
Yeah.
This
is another little veggie dish. You just fry it in, on a pan with loads of olive oil on it, Parmigiani cheese all over it, put that in the oven for 25 minutes, and it burns the peppers down. And the Parmigiani just kind of thickly melts over it, and you crunch on that.
Oh, yeah,
yeah. Yeah. Bada-bing. Sound like Tony Soprano.
It would really get in my head if I walked into someone's house and they picked up a pepper and ate it like it was an apple.
Yeah.
I think that's a power. It's just a power play, isn't it? Because you're not expecting it.
No, I suppose it really would throw you.
Yeah, if they just held eye contact and just bit
while
into a pepper. Yeah.
So your dream main course, we know it's going to be a fish. It's going to go with all this wine to go with it. And you've built up to it beautifully with the crab.
I'm full up. Dover sole.
Oh, lovely.
And do you know what? I was in Sicily. I'm not a lover of Mediterranean fish.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'll eat it and it's all right and all that. But I was brought up Atlantic fish, that cold water fish, you know. And for certain months of the year in Sicily, you can get Dover sole. It's November, around that November time. And I was in this restaurant called Lampada in Shaka. And I see, when they brought it out, they had Dover sole. I went, oh, Dover sole. Fantastic. And so I told him I liked it in the pan, you know, with butter, wine, bing, 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 turn it over. But I want it on the bone. I don't want it all taken off the bone, so you only get a little bit. I like the whole fish, you know. Mm. And he says, yes, he's no problemo. So he's taking it away and he's brought it back. But it must have got lost in translation because what he's done, he's left the whole fish and he's cooked it, how I've asked him, but he's put it in a tempura, right? And I went, destroyed me because I was so looking forward to having the fish the way I'd asked for it, right? And I'm not one who kicks up a fuss and all that. Oh, well, that's what it is, you know? And he's put his fish down. I've looked at it. It's a Dover sole in tempura. I thought, oh, fucking. You know, I've waited till November for Dover sole, and this prick has cooked it with tempura. But anyway, okay, Mr. Letter. Yeah, thank you. Very nice. Thank you very much. Right. And it was the best thing I've ever eaten.
Wow.
It was so light, the tempura. Never seen Dover sole done in batter.
Yeah.
Or, you know, I've had place, and which is close and all that. But this was done in a tempura, and it was incredible the way the guy had cooked it, you know.
Wow.
And I'd gone from ordering something that I really wanted to getting something that he'd really fucked up, right, to something that was incredible.
Yeah.
And it was an incredible dish. And I thought about all the stuff that I love. I love beef and I love, you know, the Japanese gear, Mexico. I can eat anything, you know. Ruby. I love a ruby.
Yeah.
You know, it's the greatest thing in the world.
James?
Curry.
A curry.
Old champion. but this has got to be one of the best experiences I've ever had of eating a bit of Lillian Gish.
Do you think it did get lost in translation, or do you think he listened to everything you said, went back to the kitchen, went, I'm going to do it the way that he I want to do it?
I think so.
Yeah.
I think that's exactly what happened. And that's what good chefs do, I suppose.
Yeah.
Because they're artists in a way. And I think he knew it was so good the way he was going to do it.
And there was no
I'd
way,
like to think that anyway.
Yeah.
You know? So it was fine.
I think that's what it was.
And I think he quite enjoyed me having the yump about it.
Yeah.
To be, you could tell.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think he was a little bit stabby in the backy. But until I ate it, and then I went, he was watching me, and I went, yeah, all right. That's the governor. That is the governor. You know.
It does sound absolutely delicious.
Yeah, that sounds
like good. That thin batter where it's clearly like the fish is like steamed inside the batter.
It's unbelievable what he's done, you know. And that Atlantic sea taste, for me, is, I don't know, it's just different class to what you get. The Med is, because I wasn't brought up there, I suppose if you're brought up there, you're used to that kind of flavour, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And it's much, I don't know, it's more meatier,
mm-hmm.
their fish. Then again, you'll eat a cod, but there's something about the texture and the coldness, even though you've cooked it, you feel like the flavours, there's more flavour there mm-hmm. for me, you know. So, yeah, I prefer the North Atlantic kind of fish.
Also, I quite like to just roll back a little bit, because I think there was a moment earlier that we didn't really appreciate enough of, is when you said bada bing earlier.
Yeah.
And you looked right at Ed.
Yes.
And I don't think there's the nose that you looked right at Ed and said bada bing. And I'd like to just check in with Ed how that felt, because I imagine
fantastic.
That was one of the best moments of your life.
It was fantastic.
Well, I'm pleased you liked it.
I loved it.
Okay.
I knew that Ed would have enjoyed that.
Oh, wonderful.
I think James was jealous he didn't get a bada bing.
No,
James, he's rolled it back.
James, I'll do something else for you.
No, I don't need a bada. I don't need a bada bing. You looked at me and said, curry, old chap. That was very nice.
Okay.
I enjoyed that. But Ed got the bada bing.
I got the bada bing, and I was very happy with the bada bing.
Yeah. I was feeling very Tony Soprano.
Yeah.
With you, I don't know what I was feeling.
Yeah, I mean, who knows what character you were having to inhabit for that. Here's a question that I'm going to make up on the spot.
Yeah.
Say they did a film where it was about a group of gangsters, but they're all from different pre-existing things. So say Tony Soprano's in there.
Yeah.
And you get to be in the gang playing one of the gangsters you've played. You can choose who.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
And then who else would you want in there?
Oh, James Cagney.
Oh, yeah.
Edward G. Robinson.
Love it.
I've got to take a moment.
Yeah.
Humphrey Bogart.
Yeah.
Ooh. Hey, good, isn't it?
Yeah. A gangster supergroup.
Yeah.
Which one of yours?
Bob Hoskins.
Oh, yeah. Hoskins.
Oh,
Hoskins, because, when I was, like, a little kid, I was watching him in Fun Rolls.
Yeah.
Who Framed Roger Rabbit.
Yes.
Yeah, sure. And then that's how diverse he was.
Yeah. When I first saw him do Scary, I was like, I can't believe how scary he is.
Yeah.
Proper scary.
Oh, you know, he is. I've worked with him. I loved him to death. He was proper.
Met Bob Hoskins and Robin Williams.
Well, I didn't meet Robin Williams.
You're
I just watched him. Yeah.
They just did both those things.
I've been around, kid.
which one of your characters would win in a fight against all the rest of your characters?
Ooh.
Oh, that's a good question, isn't it?
Ooh. That's a bit below the belt, isn't it? I don't know. Who would win a fight?
Royal Rumble. All your characters are in the ring together.
Who's coming out on top?
Oh, God, I don't know. I can't answer that. Because I feel I was cheating on one of them.
Yeah, you love them all.
Yeah, no, not all of them. I don't. Probably the guy with Neil Barmouth, because he'd be dirty.
Yeah.
I mean, I know he was a bully and all that, but he was a horrible guy,
And Neil Barmouth is the...
And you get the feeling even at the end of Neil Barmouth, he's going to go back and do the geezer when he's not looking. You know, he's a bit slippery, isn't he?
Mm, we don't like him.
No, we do not like that man.
No, he's a horrible man. Yeah. Nasty horrible man.
Yeah, there you go. I've got nasty horrible man said straight to me. Dream side dish.
Dream side, yeah.
Oh, well,
the dream side dish for this meal.
Dream side dish is so many. Well, if I'm keeping with the fish thing, on the side, but see, I would like cauliflower cheese.
Oh, nice.
With the Dover sole. I think that would go, you know, don't need the potatoes.
Mm-hmm.
So there's no chips involved. Maybe a little bit of mash. Might have a little bit of mash, but definitely cauliflower cheese.
I like that you've got, because it's, as you keep saying, very light meal so far.
Yeah.
So you need that bit of richness.
Yeah, because you're going out after.
So. You're going out after?
Oh, yeah.
Without
any shadow.
Where would you go to?
Oh, it depends where I was.
Yeah.
You got to be careful. It's dangerous out there.
Well, this is your dream meal, so that, like, you can have the meal wherever you want.
Well, maybe you want. Maybe you just like to leave that there, feeling quite light and nice. I walk out onto a nice balcony where you're overlooking the sea, because you've got seafood, and sit down with your wife, you know, and sit there and have a nice glass of something, just have a little chat while she watched the moon go across the sky.
Love
that. That's beautiful. I didn't know I was capable of
that. What a wonderful scene.
What would you be chatting to your wife about? What's some of the best conversations?
That's private.
You got the cauliflower cheese. Is there a particular, like, cauliflower cheese that's, you know, like, the best place you've had it, the best person who's made it for you when you go out in the house?
They make it very good in Smith's in Onga. I like cauliflower, because when I have fish, I usually have a little bit of cauliflower cheese. And everyone else goes, oh, Dad, cauliflower cheese. And they all want some.
Yeah.
So I make sure I get two of them.
Yeah.
You know, you order two, otherwise you've got none.
Yeah.
You know, it's always the way. Yeah.
So you'd like me to bring out two cauliflower cheese for you for your drink?
Well, absolutely. Because, you know, even though my wife would say, you know, oh, I don't want cauliflower cheese, she will.
Yeah. So you need
It's like when you come out and work late at night, you know, and I always phone up and say, listen, I'm going to pick something up on the way home. We're going to get the Chinese takeaway. Does anyone want anything there? No. We've eaten. Okay. All right. Fine. As soon as I put the phone down, I know. I order a little bit extra.
Yeah.
Keep that in another bag, right? And you walk in, because as soon as you got your bit out, you've been at work all day.
Yeah.
Just want a little bit of, you know, and they want it.
Yeah.
They want some. Oh, Dad, that looks, I'll have a bit of that. And I said, I'll give them the bag. Here's the bag. Because if they don't want it, I know I've got that for lunch the next morning.
Yeah, oh, nice.
When
cold Chinese, can't beat it.
Oh, yeah. It's almost like you're just throwing it to the other side of the room to distract them,
just
right?
Just go away.
Yeah.
Well, that's what you could be talking to your wife about after the meal. You'd be, I told you about
I'm not
some
going
of that
there. I've told you already. I won't tell
He's
you
He's pushing
again.
On it.
It's private.
Your dream drink. Now, you've got all the bottles of wine throughout the meal.
Yeah.
But do you have a drink that is your dream drink, your perfect drink?
No, I do drink because it's an easy drink and you don't get an hangover with it, I found, is a vodka and Coke.
Yeah.
Funny enough.
Oh, man. I was so hoping you'd say vodka and cranberry juice. I was I was getting ready to say it. What is it, your period?
In the summer, vodka and Fanta orange.
Yeah.
Or cranberry juice.
What was it, your period?
You being funny?
Yeah.
Get this guy a cranberry juice.
That's from The Departed. For anyone listening,
who
doesn't know that.
Yeah. Just in case he's not James has lost his mind. Yeah.
But you want vodka Coke?
Yeah. Easy drink for me. I love a Jameson's.
Yeah.
Like a nice Jameson's. Drink too much of it, though, it hurts you. So, you know, you kind of leave that out a little bit. But I do like a Jameson's.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, for the vodka Coke, what? I don't know what to ask about that.
What vodka?
Do you like ice with it? Yes, I do. I like loads of ice with it. And crushed ice is very nice with it. And a slice of...
Lemon?
Lemon. Yeah. We're getting through the
lemon.
Are you
squeezing the lemon in it? No, yeah.
No, because it's too acidy.
Yeah.
So you just, that one you don't squeeze. You just put it in.
And it's it's more
and
of a
sometimes it can smell a bit damp, lemon. Have you noticed that in a drink? Sometimes in some places where they cut it up, they put that in your drink and the lemon smells damp.
Oh.
You're sure the drink doesn't smell damp?
No. Drink's pretty damp. Lemon.
I mean, you're holding the dampest thing in the world.
Yeah.
A drink.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
But it's obviously been laying about somewhere, isn't it? The lemon.
Well, yeah, old pub lemons.
Yeah.
Is there a particular vodka that you like? What's the one?
Crystal Head?
I did, you know, Grey Goose.
Yeah.
Although it's French, funny enough, is quite nice. But then I thought, it's taking the piss, isn't it? I mean, it's for the bottle. You're paying for the bottle.
There's a lot of that.
So, you know, vodka and Stolichnaya. It's quite good. If you can have a vodka, have a Russian or a Czech one, I suppose, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, but the English started doing one. In my farm shop, we're selling English vodka. And I have to say, it was rather good. It was very, very nice. I was a bit Harry Enfield then, wasn't I?
You played a Russian character in the MCU?
Yeah, I did. It was a bit iffy.
Look, all those other Russian people did what you said, so it must have been a legit...
I had a bit of power going on about it, yeah. It's funny because I shot that twice. The first time I shot it, I'd done it because you're playing kind of like this guy who actually grooms young women.
Mm-hmm.
So I played him as a nonce, this paedophile.
Yes.
And they kind of didn't like
it.
It was a bit
means?
Heavy
yeah,
for...
Yeah, yeah.
I thought it was a little old bit chap. Heavy for... The character, so I had to go and shoot it all again.
Did you?
Yeah.
Did they call you up and go, we've just watched it back and you're being too much of a paedophile in this?
Well, that was kind of getting to that kind of level, So I had to go and do it again.
But it doesn't make sense with the character,
right? It's done. You're there with the director, you play the part, you work it out, and then all of a sudden someone with a suit decides that, you know, it's... Got to do it another way.
Yeah. Do you think often they resurrect characters in the MCU and stuff? Do you think he's done for good? Or do you think he's
I would have thought so. Yeah.
He seemed to have died.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Looked like he did.
Yeah.
In every possible way.
Yeah. But then a multiverse version of him might come back.
Oh, you never know. You never know. Yeah.
That's the thing.
Yeah, it could be like Dallas, couldn't it? You know, wake up in the shower or something.
Yeah. Your dream dessert, please, Ray.
Creme brulee.
Yeah. Lovely.
It's light, isn't it? It's light. You don't feel, get up on the table. I love a sticky toffee pudding. Love it to death. If I'm going to get up and then lay on the city, that's the one to have.
Yeah.
Or blackberry and apple crumble. Yeah. I had that yesterday. It was fantastic. I'll tell you. With double cream on it. Oh. Anyway, but if you're out and you're having something to eat and very light, and it'd be a creme brulee.
You like cracking the top?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like that little bit of toffee.
Well,
cracking the top's such a joy.
I always crack the top.
Yeah.
But it's nice and light again, you know. You don't get up from the table thinking, oh, you know. It's different glass.
Nowadays, there's loads of different flavour creme brulees as well.
Yeah.
But would you...
Classic.
Sounds like you're going for the classic.
Classic. Custard. I mean, I've had it with raspberries and strawberries on top and all that, which is all very nice, but you can have the classic.
Yeah.
Just done, so it's all caramelised.
I always find, like, with creme brulee, so I love a good creme brulee, but so many places don't do it very well.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to get a glimpse of other people's on different tables and see if they've got it. But if I haven't been able to catch a glimpse by the time I order dessert, I very rarely will order it blind.
You've got to listen for the crack.
Oh, really? Yeah.
Because sometimes... If you get a bad one, if it comes in a really shallow dish, I'm gutted.
Yeah.
Because I want a lot of the custardy stuff underneath the crack. I want a big crack at the top, and I want it to be really lush and custardy.
He likes a big crack.
Yeah, he does.
I love a big crack.
He does, yeah.
You should just listen in the restaurant, right? There should be cracks everywhere.
Oh, yeah, if you're hearing it.
Yeah.
Well, the next time you're in there, just say to the guy, is the dish deep and has it got a big crack?
Yeah.
And see what he comes back with.
Beforehand, you've got to say, I've got a question about the creme brulee.
Yes.
You can't say, I've got a question, does it have a big crack?
Well, I don't know. If he's a good waiter.
You could try.
Yeah, you could try. Give that a go first, yeah.
Yeah. No, I get nervous. I don't order it a lot of the time, even though I know it's good.
What is your favourite dish?
I mean, I could eat ice cream for the rest of my life.
What about the Japanese ice cream?
Yeah.
With a thick coat around
it. Oh, yeah.
Have you had the mango one?
Yeah, very good.
So good.
Oh, my Elaine brought
the little mochi balls.
She brought them from somewhere like Iceland the other day.
Yeah.
And then these, I said, where'd you get them from? She went, Iceland. I went, Iceland?
Yeah.
And now they've got coconut ones and mango.
Yeah.
The mango.
Yeah.
The
delicious
Little Moons, I think, is the name of the company.
Is that
they're amazing. They're mochi, like rice.
Fantastic.
Yeah, so good.
Yeah.
My local cinema, instead of having like an ice cream, you know, a Ben and Jerry's thing, I've got Little Moons.
Have they?
So it's just loads of different flavours of them, and you can pick and mix your own.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah.
That'd be me all day long. Yeah. You have one, don't you? You empty the box. I'll just do the box. I just love them to death. You know?
You could go to cinema, get a load of Little Moons, and eat them while watching yourself.
Yeah.
Could do.
Every time you appear on screen, you eat a little moon.
Oh, there's no one.
Can you watch yourself back? Some people can't, right?
I think it's all part and parcel of it. The learning curve, isn't it? You know when you're good, you know when you're bad.
Yeah.
And hopefully you know how to put that right if it goes wrong. But, you know, once you've watched it, it's done.
Yeah.
And maybe years and years down the road, you come home one night, you've been out, turn the telly on, and there's a film with you in it, and... Oh, you watch it 10 minutes and you end up watching it all, depending on how good it is.
Yeah.
You know, but you do, you know, that way. But you don't sit down thinking, oh, right, I'm going to watch me in a film there.
Yeah.
That'd be a bit of a prat to do that.
Did you ever go to the cinema to watch me?
When they first come out, because that's where you judge it. They're made for film.
Yeah.
A bit different now, you know, Netflix and all that are films being made for the TV. But TVs now... I like cinemas.
Yeah. They've
got all the surround sound. You've got the TV up there, which is widescreen anamorphic. And you go, you know, if you get really close to it, it's like being at the pictures, isn't it? You know, how big your telly is, you know? But it is like being at a cinema now. You turn the lights down, you got the fucking sound going on.
Your bucket of mini moons.
And it's like being at the pictures.
Yeah.
Except you ain't got a queue.
Yeah.
Mind you, in my house, sometimes you have.
Is there a particular cinema you like to go? Because...
Not anymore.
I'll be transparent about why I'm asking this.
Yeah.
the first thing I've filmed is going to be in the cinema. So I've never done anything like that before. And I'm really looking forward to going and watching it in the Kettering Odeon, where I used to watch films as a kid.
Yeah.
So I think that will feel really special to watch it there rather than anywhere else.
Yeah.
Is there a place like that for you?
No, because not many of them are left. I mean, I used to go every Wednesday with my dad to the cinema. He used to pick me up because he works in the fruit market and the meat markets and all that. So he picked me up after work when I was coming out of school, and we'd go to the cinema every Wednesday. And once a month, we'd go up the West End to see a film like Zulu, Thomas of Becket, or whatever the film was of the time, you know. And but them cinemas where I used to go when I was a kid, they're not there anymore.
Mm.
So, you know, even when we moved out to North London because Dad went into the fruit game and he had fruit shops and all that. The cinemas that were in Enfield were the Florida and all that kind of stuff. So they're not there. They're not cinemas anymore. You know, they're either the co-ops or something like that. They're all gone, you know. So I've got no connection with cinema. Maybe the West End I have, because when we used to come up, we used to go to the one at Marble Arch, or you'd go to the one at Leicester Square to see a film, a new film. But really, that's about it, you know. Cinemas, I guess the nearest cinemas to me now are Harlow.
Not in Sicily?
No, because the town itself had a little cinema.
Yeah.
Very much like Cinema Paradiso, you know. Each town had a little cinema, but that's not there no more. To go to the cinema, you have to go to Shaka, which is 40 minutes away, or Agrigento. So only really the big towns have. That's changed. TV's changed it all, I guess, you know.
Well, I'm going to read your menu back to you now.
Okay.
See how you feel about it.
Yep.
You would like sparkling water with ice and a squeeze of lemon.
Very good.
You would like light crispy bread with your own olive oil. You would like a dressed crab with lemon, seafood sauce, cockles. And then after that, before the main, you would like burnt artichokes. Main course, tempura tofu sole from Lampara. Side dish, two cauliflower cheeses from Smith's. Maybe a bit of mash. Drink, a vodka Coke with ice and a slice of lemon, which you won't drink, but we'll let you know how much you've had. You also want the Planeta Amarone Nero Diablo and plenty of rosé for the whole meal.
No, you want the Nero Diablo is Planeta, and also the rosé.
Yeah.
Amarone is a different wine. It comes from the north of the country, of Italy, which is further up. I think it's Veneta, that kind of way, up there. Near the Dolomites and all that, all around that. Why, my son?
that was straight at Benito, that one.
We all got Benito's one. We all got one.
Yeah.
Also, Benito, please keep in earlier when you asked Ray to repeat the wine so that has context. And dessert, you would like Ray creme brulee.
Yes.
I love that, yeah. Perfecto.
That sounds great.
That sounds incredible.
Yeah.
It does sound delicious.
Would you like that? Would you like
100%.
That? Yeah. Good.
I'd eat all of that.
I mean, the Dover sole.
I'll tell you where else you get a good Dover sole. Scots.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a good place, that.
Yeah.
I've not been.
But my favourite fish restaurant that I've been going to since I was a little kid is Smith's in Ongar.
Yeah.
Bum.
I've never been to Smith's.
Oh, you got to go.
Same people owned it the whole time as
all
well?
All time. All the family, yeah.
All
the way through, yeah.
Has there ever been a scene where you've had to eat loads of food in it?
I'd done a film with John Malkovich.
Yeah.
And I was sitting in a place, Pescaria, I think it was, in northern Italy. And I had this, and I like truffle, you know?
Yeah.
I do like a bit of truffle.
Yeah.
And I had to eat this pasta in the scene with loads of, the scene was all this kind of truffle being, what's the name of it? And after the eighth plate of that. You know, I think I went off truffle eating scenes, you learn as you go on. You gotta be careful when you're doing eating scenes, like in Sexy Beast, sitting in the Dorchester, you know, waiting for Ian McShane. He's talking to me, you know, I'm eating a hearty breakfast. He can get it right. Don't keep fluffing your words. I'm sure he was doing it on purpose. I just kept eating.
The worst thing, a full breakfast
Nice
as well.
Breakfast in the Dorchester.
Thank you very much, Ray.
I've had a ball, boys. Thanks very much. And great memories of food.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's good, you know.
Thank you so much, Ray.
Cheers.
Well, there we are. What a treat to talk to Ray Winston.
Amazing. Such a lot of eye contact went on there. We each got a line said to us by Ray. That was a lot of fun.
Yeah, bada bing. No damsons from Ray either.
No, so it means I don't think we could have kicked him out of the restaurant, really.
No way.
I don't think we would have succeeded there.
No.
So, you know, really glad.
Yes.
That they didn't come up at any point.
Also, I was just enjoying talking to him, so.
Yes, I'm looking forward to seeing Damsel, which is out on March the 8th on Netflix.
And I'm looking forward to watching The Gentleman, which is also on Netflix and is on in March. So that's next month if you're listening to this on the day it comes out. I'm on tour, Hot Diggity Dog. That starts in March as well, going all over the UK, popping over to Ireland as well. Tickets, edgamble.co.uk.
And hey, why not? If you're looking for a podcast to listen to after this, maybe something scripted. Listen to Springleaf, wherever you get your podcasts. 10 episodes where an undercover cop plays his wire recordings for all to hear.
It's very, very good. I vouch for it. It's Thank very you, funny. Very silly, boy.
Very silly. It's very, very silly. Now, we've been sent some food, and we'd like to say thank you to those people who've sent us food, because that's nice of them.
Yes. We got some coffee.
Love coffee!
James loves coffee. We always like to have coffee here in the off-menu studio for us and our guests.
Yes.
We've got coffee from Rising Ground.
Yes.
Thank you very much for sending that. And also coffee from Origin Coffee. So thank you for that too.
Delicious. Yes, Benito's just reminded me that I've been wearing my Rising Ground t-shirt. And it's such a nice t-shirt. I get compliments on it.
Ooh.
And then people are like, what is this clothing brand, Rising Ground? And I'm like, it's a coffee.
So you're a walking advert, baby.
Yeah, yeah. It's working, you know.
Talking of t-shirts, I wear my Prawn on the Lawn t-shirt all the time, James.
I love my Prawn on the Lawn. I genuinely really love my Prawn on the Lawn t-shirt and my Prawn on the Lawn cap. I don't know what Prawn on the Lawn is.
It's a restaurant, James, in Padstow in Cornwall.
Well, I'll have to go there because I do love wearing the stuff. Like,
Very good branding.
Again, everyone's always like, because it's a little prawn. It's like a lawn chair, raising a glass. And was always like, ha-ha, what's this t-shirt? I'm like, Prawn on the Lawn. Oh, Benito's just told us there's also a Prawn on the Lawn in London.
Yeah, well, we got to go. That would have been awful if we'd gone all the way to Cornwall.
And then discovered.
And discovered there's one in London as well.
We would have felt like fools.
You know, nice to have a trip away, though.
Yeah, always nice to have a trip away.
Beautiful part of the world. Shout out to Molden Salt as well.
Yeah, I mean, that's very nice of them to send us stuff, considering probably every series someone mentions Molden Salt on the podcast.
Yeah.
It's a freebie shout out.
Yeah, so thanks for sending all that. Loads of different flavours of salt, etc. And Dalston Sodas, I believe you had a Dalston Soda just there, James.
One of the ginger ones, yeah. It's very, very nice, with some zesty lime in there as well.
Ooh.
I'm looking forward to, I think I'm going to have the cherry one at some point, even though I've already had that one. I know I like it.
Yeah.
But like, you know, sometimes you can't help it. You just want to go back to the stuff you know and love.
Well, thanks to all those people for sending us bits. It always goes down well. And, you know, like I say, the Christmas party here always kicks off. We've always got lots of bits.
There's always loads of bits and people can help themselves to the bits. We look like we've put on a lovely spread.
Well, you never come.
No, I don't want to.
Thank you very much to Ray for coming on the podcast. Thank you very much for listening. We will see you again soon. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at hellofresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Lucy Beaumont.
And guess what? I'm Sam Campbell. If you enjoy, there's another podcast just coming out. Oh, no, the podcast is out now.
Yeah. If people have enjoyed Off Menu, will they enjoy Lucy and Sam's Perfect Brains? I don't know.
There's a bit of crossover. We talk about maybe, you know, a couple of food issues. We talk about cutlery, and that's near food. We reckon it's out now. Not soon, it's now.
Is it on all the platforms?
Oh, it absolutely is. If you like James and if you love Ed, you might get a kick out of this. But yeah, again, no pressure. But this one's out now. Lucy and Sam's Perfect Brains.